promised land if they live righteously.
It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It is Articles of News. It is episode number 799. We are so close to 800. It is the literal next episode. Sorry, Russ Wild from Texas. You missed it by one.
800 Eve? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And the last one was 800 Adam. I hate that Christmas Adam, Christmas Eve, because Adam came before. What's new with you?
What is new with me? I don't know. Same old.
We're getting close to the summer months. Yeah, you made it through spring break, which means now the kids are counting down the minutes until they don't have to be in school anymore.
It's like a month of school left. There's a million things happening with dance competitions and baseball and t-ball and wee ball. And yeah, it's pretty constant.
Are all your kids in school?
I have a 3-year-old.
Okay.
And the school that we send our kids to has a pre-K 3 and pre-K 4. So yes, they're all in school.
Is it all day, 3 day, three-year-old pre-K? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's orders of magnitude cheaper than daycare, but it's still not free.
Yeah.
We've got one that we're paying for still.
Okay.
So,
and are your kids pretty smart because of it, or is it they just get like exposed to the ways to manipulate their parents earlier?
I think it just is setting them up to not question working 8 hours a day at a job
for the rest of their life. Because
this is what we do.
Yeah,
we go to a place and spend 8 hours.
By the time they get to retirement age, first of all, there won't be a retirement age. And second of all, Social Security won't be there. So they better get used to it.
It's good that they learn. I figure they'll all be in virtual reality before they get to high school, though.
Like a virtual reality school or like?
Yeah, they'll be like
be virtual reality.
Well, not quite to that point, but their school will be for sure.
Okay.
Or there'll be the option to. Go to school.
Is that not already? I guess what virtual reality is the part that's missing right now.
Right. Yeah.
Because Zoom is essentially just, you know, a couple graphics cards and a non-existent teacher short of VR.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're starting to see the shifting towards that. I know that Meta is working on a bunch of things in that realm. The idea of being able to make it more interactive than Zoom. Like, okay, we're in France or we're under the ocean. Those kind of things.
That's pretty cool.
That's what I see in the future. It hasn't happened yet, obviously, but.
Sure.
Perhaps one day.
Let's get them graduated so they can get to work on the border and keep our nation safe. Come on, Texas.
Or at least get them out of kindergarten.
Yeah.
Or pre-kindergarten.
Yeah. Anything else new?
I'm excited by the resurgence of Rock Band.
But the video game Rock Band?
Yeah. The company that made it was bought by the company that runs the Fortnite.
Okay.
Not the Taylor Swift kind of Fortnite, but the video game Fortnite.
The less tattoo Fortnite.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they have an element inside Fortnite, apparently. I don't know. I don't play Fortnite, but it is essentially Rock Band in Fortnite. But the Rock Band game still works on the modern consoles, and they are starting to release guitars for it. So it's back.
Great.
I'm excited. I have a large library of Rock Band songs.
Okay.
So I'm back. I'm back playing it.
If I ever get to Texas or you ever come here, can we try and master Knights of Sidonia?
Rock Band?
Yeah. That was impossible.
We could try. I'd have to check my library to make sure I still have that song.
Well, I think that was general issue, but that was hard because it's the dun 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 dun
dun. I honestly think I have 700 something songs.
Maybe 800. Because you bought them?
I bought a ton of songs.
Why? Why would you do that?
I played so much Rock Band.
Yeah. Why? Why is how old were you? How old were we? I don't remember.
I don't know. Like I was living in Texas, so I was 26 or 7.
Okay.
8, 9,
okay.
30. I might have been 30.
So old enough to know better is what I'm hearing.
Well, that's the thing. Like I should have known better, but that's what makes me feel good right now. Is I pumped a ridiculous amount of money into this game, and I'm still able to enjoy it. These decades later.
Are any of those songs non-released anymore? Like, you own it and other people can't, so...
Oh, yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah?
For sure.
Cool.
Not... We don't... I can tell that you haven't played a plastic instrument in a while.
Yep. I was not very good. And like I said, I got so frustrated at the ding da ding da ding da ding da ding. Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in my life.
Okay. I want to share. We do a thing at my house, and then I got to share a couple emails, but it is the best thing that I could have ever invented. I am not a fan of arbitrary rules. If someone else sets them, I am a huge fan of arbitrary rules. If I am the one who sets them.
Oh yeah. I can see that. I can see how that would be different. Yeah.
Are
we talking about the church? No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. Well, yes, but that's not what I was going to share. But like, we don't turn on the air conditioner till after Memorial Day or something like that, right? I know that there's people that have that, right? Doesn't matter. We're not doing it. And it's like, man, it is 1,000 degrees outside. We didn't have global warming when you set this up, whatever. But you just have that sort of arbitrary rule that you set up. And if you set it up, you're like, no, sorry, drink some water, get a blanket. That's stuck. But if someone does that to me, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. I've got and am living one of the best arbitrary rules right now.
Go on.
So we have not like you property. You've got the 5 acres in Texas. We've got the almost one in Salt Lake, which is a lot compared.
It's a lot.
You take Salt Lake to Texas. And it's a lot of work to do. And I don't particularly like love doing it year round. Necessarily. Sure. Plus I got the fair skin. And so I have set up the arbitrary rule that after June 1st, I don't do any yard work except for the maintaining of the yard. So like if something breaks, a sprinkler breaks, I have to fix it. Obviously I can't get out of that, but otherwise it is weed whacking and mowing only. So right now I am in the thick of all of the projects that if I get them done or I don't get them done, June 1st, I'm done. Doesn't matter.
Your skin does have an extra pink hue to it.
Yeah, I was outside a lot today. Should have been working. I don't have the ability to balance. That's a whole thing for another time. But I did a lot of work. A lot of work in the yard today. Garden is ready. We're going to be provident livers or whatever it is. Grow our own.
You all set to dehydrate and freeze dry that stuff? Once you
We had a dehydrator. I'm not allowed to have a freeze dryer because I
because Skittles.
Yep. They're so good. And you knew that without me even having to say it. It's just the whole bags like that. So no, we're not allowed to have a freeze dryer. Had a food.
That sounds like another arbitrary rule.
Yeah. That's one that is placed by somebody else that I sort of live under, but it's fine. It's probably for my non-diabetes, you know, or obesity or something.
Yeah, something. I'm sure something.
It's for my health. It's for my health.
When you're old and older and yeah.
Yeah, thanks for making that caveat.
You want to lengthen your life. You'll be glad that you didn't eat those freeze-dried Skittles.
Oh, I eat them. I just am glad that I didn't get to make it in my own home. Yep. Okay. Well, so that's what we're doing. I've got a couple more weeks of that and then button it up and we're done. And my wife knows it too. So she's a little bit, slave driver a little bit. Hey, look, we only got till the first. Come on. Let's go.
That's a solid 5 weeks.
Yeah. Here's the deal though. Like after June 1st and a lot of times before June 1st, but you know, arbitrary date, it's so hot. There's no point. Why would I do anything outside when it's so hot? Like I'd go up the canyon, I'd go hiking. I'd go to a water park in Texas with my friend Russ and his 10 kids. I'd do that, but I would not do yard work. I would not be up a tree with a chainsaw.
I agree with you to a point. See, I feel like you have the advantage of the mornings being relatively cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't think, a feature that I have the advantage of.
Yeah.
So, like, even in the summer, you're like, yeah, it's know, it's nice in the morning. You could knock out an hour or two before it gets hot.
Well, sure, sure. That's when you mow. That's the one time a week when you mow and you trim.
Oh.
That's out of everything.
Yeah. I also will apply this rule. I will start now.
Yeah. Good luck. I get done with the mowing of the lawn and I get a handful of freeze-dried Skittles, and that's my reward starting June 1st. Okay. Good. So I got a couple of emails I want to share. These are admittedly, if you've listened to Articles of News a couple episodes back, I don't want to say I begged for emails, but I will say I begged for emails. And here's the deal. We were talking about how, as you do a show, if people don't tell you, oh, I hate your show, or, oh, I love your show, you have no idea if people are listening to your show or care about it at all. So I was sort of lamenting that, and people came through. So I want to share a couple of emails that have come through since that time. This first one is from Lenny. Says, I've been a Patreon member of the show for a little while now, terrestrial level, and don't respond much, but wanted to let you guys know that your podcast, it's a show, is one of my top podcasts. It's a show that I listen to on a regular basis, and I especially enjoy the Articles of News episodes. It's like I'm sitting down to chat with friends for an hour, even though there's no input from my side. I usually enjoy the other interview podcasts. It's a show. Once in a while, I think, nah, not for me, and move on and wait for the next episode. I just want to let you know I was thinking that on this latest one, episode 196, or sorry, 796 with Michael Houston, but it drew me in and I'm so glad I did. Loved the episode, and now I plan on doing my own research into this subject and will probably pick up his book. Over the years, you've had some that have really touched me, and yes, tears have been shed. I can't recall the particular ones, but of course, some involving Brother Kyle are definitely in there. Keep up the great work. I support what I can and do recommend your podcast show to friends and to family. Lenny. Thanks, Lenny. Not bad. See, then I know, yeah. Lenny, you know, he listens. He cares.
It's like he's here in the room with us having a chat, but his mic's not turned on.
Exactly. This one from Carrie says, I want to apologize on behalf of all those people who don't write in, and thank you for doing the show. I love the Cultural Hall. Love everything you guys do. Think you're awesome and would write in every week, but that might be redundant. It wouldn't. Oh, wait, that's what you like. That's right. Well, I guarantee you that I'm one of those that hardly ever praises you in an email, but know that I am your biggest fan, Carrie Farns in San Diego, and my favorite, and I'm pretty sure that this is on like the tagline of all of her emails, but if it's not, it's still worth mentioning. It says, dictating this while walking the beach and waiting for my husband to try and catch up to me. So I think that might just be her signature, but it's kind of funny.
I think I want to add that as my signature.
You should. Dictating this while my wife is in court. This from Tyler Harper. He emails in contact@thecultural.com and says, Jenny is the best. I missed her. That's all. I send this to give Richie feedback and validation. And then he replies again and says, a couple of shows ago, you mentioned that your love language is words of affirmation. Now that I know that, I will be sending more of them. So thank you, Tyler. That, by the way, episode with Molly Jenny is the most recent Articles of News, which I want to say is 797, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you've not heard the triumphant return of Molly Jenny. Yep, it is 797. You can find a link to that, or it's two episodes back in the feed. Just go to it that way. This one from Rob Allen says, so good to hear Jenny Molly on the show again. I miss her, and I'm so grateful that I could get her perspective on the news. Visionary sculptures and authority. More, please, says Rob. contact@theculturalhall.com. This from Jeff. He says, I heard Verlin's co-host tryout. This was 4 or 5 episodes ago in Articles of News. Verlin, a potential new co-host. He said, Jeff goes on to say, he sounded great with you. Your voices were easily separable and he sounded clear alongside you, Jeff. So thank you, Jeff. And then this. And
that's
this
what you want in a co-host. Someone whose voice is separate and clear.
Yeah, and sounds different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you and no,
I. Some, I would think that people might, you know, if you were just listening, you could think, like, is Richie just doing voices?
Wouldn't that be a thing?
Perhaps.
What was the old radio host that did that? He was his call-in guest, and then he also was the host. Do you remember he did late night?
I don't.
Mm,
I didn't know that was a thing. But
yeah, it was a guy, and he was very funny. He was on the radio for a very long time. I don't know. Guy. I'll find it. Contact at theculturalhall.com if you know that. And then this, and I would be curious to your thoughts on this, because no one will love this more as two white men talk about women and authority. This is the last email. Says this is from Sandra, says the most important approval any member of the church is required to obtain in order to qualify for a temple recommend is one's own, as you attest to and sign your signature to your recommend, signifying your own worthiness. So for me, that is the approval of a woman. Additionally, as an ordinance worker in the Orlando Temple for 25 years, I served with authority along with dozens of other female temple workers, administrating ordinances, including the laying on of hands. Additionally, as a ministering sister and having been an auxiliary president several times, I have carried out many duties completed by pastors or assistant pastors in other faiths. Just my take on your recent discussion, Sandy. What do you think about that?
I think that there are a multitude of ways that people can serve and lead in our church. I think that for some people that's enough, and for others it's not. Mm-hmm. And the way an individual experiences the church is probably unique to the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not my place to say that like a person's experience is right or wrong.
Sure.
So.
Well, and I mean, you bring up a point that I think is so interesting, because I've heard from people who have not emailed in this show since Jenny was talking about essentially that any sort of authority or permission to do something, ultimately, she has to receive from a man. And of course, in response to President Dennis's talk. So, you know, she very clearly, and I think what people appreciate about what she said is she said, hey, I have an issue with this, and I'm a faithful member of the church who has a temple recommend and a calling, blah, 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 right? These sort of qualifiers to be able to say, oh, hey, but I'm also, you know, I'm like you guys, but I'm also struggling. Here's the deal. Other people have said, I don't struggle with that at all. I don't even think about it. It doesn't matter to me. You know, there's not that thing. And that doesn't mean, oh, that's the right way, or, oh, well, that's the faithful response. To not have some sort of issue with it. Like that's not the thing. I think it very much is exactly what you say, is that everyone has all of their things. Everyone has everything that makes them up. And sometimes there will be something that bothers you, and sometimes it won't bother anybody else. Literally, you could look around your congregation and go, does this not drive anyone else crazy? And they go, no. And that doesn't mean that you're right or that they're wrong or that they're right and you're wrong. It can just be your experience and part of the path that you have to walk, because maybe it's a thing that you're learning. Maybe it's a thing that they're learning. Maybe you don't know what the thing is that's going on with you or them or everybody at that time. You don't know. And I think you gave the most perfect answer of, yeah, it's none of your business.
Yeah. I mean, you could point to a multitude of ways as that women are given opportunities to lead, serve, influence. And you could give a multitude of ways how that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And yep, they're both.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see changes throughout the rest of our lives.
Sure.
As things adjust. And I mean, if you think even more recently about since the bishops have been asked to focus more on the youth, and as they've done that, a lot of the things that bishops used to do exclusively have fallen on Relief Society presidents and Elders Quorum presidents.
Sure.
So, like, there's plenty of stuff that Relief Society presidents are doing today that, you know, 10 years ago was strictly bishops' things. Is that sure. Good, bad, better? Yes. It's all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I think we're on a ride. Some people are going to like parts of it and other people aren't.
Yeah. And I think that there are some people that like, it's not even on their radar. They hear about something right. Like this and they go, wait, what? Yeah. I haven't even considered it. Another thing that sort of popped in my head as you were talking about that with the change in bishops is I also think about like the, what are essentially women area authorities in Europe, you know, those 50 women, I think it is, that are essentially for each of the different areas. And it's like a, it's like Relief Society presidency, but not specifically specifically Relief Society, but they're like the women in charge of that particular area. And they're called not as you know, a helpmeet to their husband. They are the one who are called. And I think that's significant. I'm glad we weighed in on that. Contact at theculturalhall.com. When we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do actual articles of news, ones that we should probably actually be talking about.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
BestDJInUtah.com is the website. That is where you go if you would like me to come and DJ your event. Now, will I do a family reunion where you all wear the same t-shirts? You bet I will. Will I travel to wherever you're at? Uh-huh. Am I reasonable as far as what I cost? Yes. Yes. Do I bring a good time? Yeah, all the things. Listen, Best DJ in Utah, it's my company. It's a thing I do that allows me to be able to have the time to do the cultural hall. So if someone's getting married, you think, man, they need a great DJ. You're throwing a party, whether it's a 50th or 60th or 40th or 20th or whatever the party is. I've done them all and would love to be able to do that. An anniversary party, certainly done those. I did a baptism in 2023. Yeah, we did a big dance party at a baptism. Spoiler, not a Mormon baptism, but it was fun nonetheless. BestDJInUtah.com is a website. I will get back to you within 24 hours with a quote. Come on now. BestDJInUtah.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Our lifetime service guarantee has become the most trusted warranty in the industry. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop computer and they start at only $29 a month. Check us out at PCLaptops.com.
Here in the second half of Articles of News, we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And away we go. I could not get the song out of my head this week. The my Mormon face. This TikToker that, I mean, she brings Ryan Gosling into this whole thing. Have you watched any of her, like, on Mormon Stories, or she has her own thing that she puts out? Have you seen any of this lady?
I've seen her. She shows up on my FYP from time to time.
Okay. Your FYP?
Yeah. Come on, Richie. You TikTok like the rest of us. No?
My featured yearly posts? My fine young personas?
All good guesses. The For You page.
For You. You could have just said For You page and I would have known what you were talking about.
But that's not what we TikTokers call it. It's okay. The FYP. Yeah, I've seen her before, and I find it hilarious that that we live in a day and age where a person, regardless of subject matter, can make a TikTok about something, and then news organizations turn that into a news story.
Yeah, I would debate news. I would debate news as far as that goes.
Well, I mean, I've long held opinions as a former journalists that social media, using social media as a source is always strange, but you know, it's fairly common. You see people use X or Twitter as a source.
Sure.
A person said this or that, but for just like general people spouting off into the internet, like that's weird to me.
Well, but I mean, so what is news? We could get into all that, but it is in some ways what people are talking about. And in this particular case, I mean, I saw it all over the place. What's the woman's name? I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
I'm going to have to look it again. Sorry.
Check her ex. Find out what her name is. She gets on. She was raised in the church and she has subsequently left the church. And she has taken to TikTok to do what a lot of former members of the church will do, which will be like, oh, you guys wouldn't believe what we do in the temple is this. Or
I don't know that she's that over the top. I mean, like, there are some weird things about our church thing, weird sure. things that it's just, and I think she lays it out like, can you believe this weird thing that this church does? But then, like, these news articles that essentially quote her come out and are just like, she points out the wackiest, weirdest things.
Well, but to me, did you ever read Educated by Tara?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is what I feel like it is, because she has had these stories that have come up, or these TikToks that have made the news, where she's like, my parents never let us drink caffeine and we couldn't talk to people on Sunday. I don't think it was exactly that, but it was, you know, right. it was something that you probably, your parents, sorry, just your mom, probably had a thing that, that for those people that don't know, I'm a horrible person.
Single.
And you had a single mom growing up.
Just went over my head.
And then you caught it. Good. We'll see. Yeah. We haven't hung out soon enough. Anyway, or often enough. I'm a horrible person. So, your mom probably did something that was weird growing up, right? Did you have the weird thing that you couldn't do?
I mean, no, I feel like, I know what you mean. Like, we couldn't, like, I definitely knew kids that, like, couldn't watch The Simpsons or couldn't this or, you know, caffeine was like the thing that never should touch your lips or any of those things.
If you had a friend that wasn't a member of the church, you always had to invite them to primary or whatever the thing was, right? People have those things. And so she's taken to social media and been like, and this is what they do. This is what the church is. And it's like, no. In the same way, the comparison I was trying to make is, if you read Educated, it'd be like, is it Westover? Is that Tara's last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like if she's like, everyone in the church is like this. And it's like, no, everyone in the church is not like what you went through. It was, you know, terrible. And I'm sorry. And, you know, that's what some of the things where I have compassion for this particular TikToker as well. But it's like, what are we doing here? It doesn't feel like it feels genuine to her situation. It doesn't feel genuine to the church. If what you're saying sort of spurs these things that they're like, everyone in the church has a dead person in their house. It's like, no one. Okay.
Yeah. Her name is Alyssa Grenfell. I think it's like, to your point, it's like, yes, there are obviously unique situations in everybody's upbringing and things. And like, even from mission to mission, like, because she served a mission and often talks about her mission. Uh-huh. Like, I could say things like, as a missionary, I was required to do this. And like, you know, then that becomes a news article. And then everybody else is like, that's a weird mission rule that you guys had. We didn't do that. So I think it's just, like you said, we all have experienced weird things in the church because we're all people and we all have had weird leaders and I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's,
I'm not sure.
But to talk about the way that we have our Mormon face, the way our closed breeding has produced the Mormon look.
I mean, 60% of the time people can pick out the Mormon person.
That's like 40% they can't.
Yeah, but that's more than 50-50.
Oh, something about statistics being made up on the spot. I don't know. Like, can they?
I mean, don't you feel like, I mean, there are very easily tells.
Well, right? Since
like
we've
BYU, been, like your BYU hat or garments. Those
for sure. Like every time I go to Six Flags, which is almost weekly, uh-huh. We play Spot the Mormon. And, you know, it's usually like, that guy has seven kids and he's wearing a BYU jersey and
sure.
or whatever. Yeah, that sort of thing. My mother, who worked at Beehive Clothing for many years, liked to spot the underwear. She was really good at that. Uh-huh. She could spot how people were. I was trying to think of a better way to say that. But yeah, she would be aware of, like, spotting people in public places that, and like, not in Utah, but when we were at other places, like trying to recognize people. Yeah, you can sometimes spot people, but I think that becomes more a Utah thing, and probably it's fading, I'd say.
Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, that study you cite that says 60% of people can spot the Mormon, like, was from 2010.
Okay.
As more and more people move to Utah, I think that's going to become less and less of an issue. But
all right, I can.
How are we going to hide that?
It is the one thing that I'm on board with, Alyssa Grunfeld. I think there is a Mormon face, and I'm sticking with it.
Do I have it?
Do you have it? Come on. Look at me.
Do I have relatives that pioneered to San Pete County?
It's not necessarily the pioneer. And on the Mish, I thought it was, like, I would always chalk it up. I can remember one place in particular that we were driving into a trailer park, and a car passed us on the way out, and I went, that person is a member of our church, as they drove by. And I didn't know them. I'd never met them. I only saw them as they passed us going away. Now, could have been some sort of discernment or prompting of the spirit. Okay.
A spirit encounter
that will someday lead me and my next wife to Hawaii. Could have been, but I swear Mormon face is a real thing, at least to some extent.
I will say that I don't feel like Mormon face is unique to Mormons. And I'll explain. Okay. When I was a missionary, I served most of my mission in East Texas.
Okay.
And I got to the point where I was pretty confident that without knowing, I could tell you who went to Texas A&M versus the University of Texas. And this is a 19-year-old kid from Utah that, like, had, you know, never okay. heard of either school before getting there. And so there was, like, I got to this, it was, I don't know, a year plus into my mission, and we're working on a Habitat for Humanity house. And one of the missionaries comes up to me, he's like, what's going on, Wild? You're acting a little weird. I'm like, oh, this guy that's running this project, he went to Texas A&M. I don't like that. I don't like that attitude. And he's like, what do you mean he went to Texas A&M? I'm like, he went to Texas A&M. I could tell just the way he talks, the way he acts, he went to Texas A&M. He's got that Texas A&M face, if you will. And, yeah. And this missionary is like, you're full of it, dude. So he goes over to the guy and he's like, excuse me, sir. Where did you go to university? Texas A&M University, 1979. And then he fell over laughing. So I think there are unique cultural places, which I wouldn't say that Texas A&M was one of them, like, create personality traits, if you will, that are sometimes easy to spot. And I don't think it's unique to our church. I think there's probably several groups that you could be like, oh, I can spot the whatever. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I concede. The Aggie face, is that what we're saying? Isn't it the Aggies, Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Nice. Aggies and then Longhorns, is that Texas?
Right.
Yeah.
You're wearing the shirt, dude.
I know. Listen, you don't even remember that you bought me the shirt, so shut up. That was five kids, six. How many kids do you have? How come I can never remember?
Five.
That was 5 kids ago that you bought me this shirt. So soft.
Back then you were my only kid. Now I have
me
five of my own.
Maybe that's why I always think six. What other news story do you want to go to?
I wish I was a fly on the wall in that Chad Daybell trial.
I queued this up, and I don't think that you even got the veiled reference about the one day with my next future spouse going to Hawaii. I mentioned that earlier. It's fine. You missed it. Over your head. What are you getting at? We did an update with Nate Eaton after the first week back, but it just seems crazy town.
I mean, I don't feel like this trial is going to be, like, I don't feel like people are paying as much attention. I think there was more interest in his second wife's trial.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think this one's kind of like, everyone's kind of like, the when you've got the Texas beauty queen, Wheel of Fortune contestant, apocalypse mom versus, like, weird Mormon writer, former cemetery worker, you know, like,
not as fantastical, I don't think.
Yeah, the 48 hours special isn't as fun on this one, but I think we've heard a lot of the evidence already too in her trial, so I think there's not a lot that's going to be surprising in this. But I think it's interesting to, when we talk about Chad Daybell and kind of his progression from faithful member of the church, writing books, and those things, and how he ended up there. That are there was an article today, or not today, that it was an article that we saw this week that talked about kind of his near-death experience and how that kind of set him on the path that ended up on a beach in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, do you suppose it was the near-death experience, as that article sort of says, is that it was the near-death experience? Normal guy doing a thing, you have a near-death experience and sort of the your perspective on life, or maybe, you know, some part of what occurred in his near-death experience was real or appeared real to him, or, you know, something like that, that allowed him to then go, well, if this is real, or maybe it's so very different from how life is now, that he's like, no, but I know this, I felt it, all the things, that then it just starts to just open up just a chasm that can be filled with a bunch of weird stuff like what happened.
I don't know how it processed for him. And my recollection of the timeline, his was pretty early in his life, and you know, then he continued on for a while. But I don't think having a near-death experience means you're going to end up like Chad Daybell. I mean, you could argue that President Holland had a near-death experience that he referenced in conference this last time.
Sure.
And I don't think anybody's, you know, putting, but I think it's an interesting, that idea of how that plays with our faith when you have an experience like that, how what we believe and what we're taught, and as people have these experiences, and it kind of the way it would, I mean, put you on a path or solidify your faith. I think it's like, if you had essentially you're having a vision, and that would make you, I think, pretty, it would make me, I think, I mean, if I was about to die and had an out-of-body experience, and I felt like a former relative or someone visited with me, or some other spiritual being visited with me and, you know, gave me some instructions and sent me back, I'd feel kind of obligated to do what they told me.
Sure. Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I also wonder if it is because so few people have had a near-death experience. So say that it was just, hey, I had a near-death experience and there was something profound and unique to Chad Daybell, right? It's an interesting comparison you've made with Elder Holland to Chad Daybell, but I'll walk alongside that for a minute. But to have...
They're essentially not the same person.
No, at all. So that's why I'm trying to walk alongside it. But I think that it is an interesting thing where if you have this experience that it is your experience, that people can't say, no, that isn't what you experienced, because no, you know, it's not that it could be borne out by anybody else in the same way. You weren't there. You don't know what I saw, etc. So I think that that's an interesting aspect of it. But then also, I think that there are sometimes people, and I certainly saw this growing up, but in a different way, that like when you start to get attention for something, there is a certain type of person, not me, of course, I hate attention, but other people that sort of expand on it, or like the hit that they got from just saying, well, yeah, I had a near-death experience and my grandpa told me that I needed to make sure to stay on the straight and narrow, and it was a beautiful experience and, you know, very sacred to me. Like in the telling of it, it starts to become, and he wielded the sword of Laban and told me who the people were that were devils and that need to be killed. Right. There's like, I can see the progression of with certain personality types that it was like, yeah, okay, I'm given space for a potentially very unique spiritual moment that then put in the hands of someone that, you know, would either abuse it or be prone to abuse it.
And I think that probably in Chad Daybell's case, I think as a book publisher, he'd oftentimes meet with people who had whose books shared similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you had an experience like that, and then all of a sudden you're in a room with, you know, it's that idea of like, you get to feeding off somebody else that, oh, I had this experience and this happened.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow, really? And then the memory in the mind is an interesting thing, and the way it all works. And so who knows, but I know that near death experiences and these types of visions aren't unique to our church.
Sure.
Like lots of people have claimed to have had out of body spiritual manifestations. And so
To wrap up the Elder Holland comparison, though, I would say juxtaposed to Elder Holland, who it seems very near death, like knocking on the door, near death experience, and then is able to sort of, I'm sure with a responsibility, right? Being called as one of God's anointed and having had that experience, very responsibly sort of taking care of it and saying, hey, you know what, here is what this is. And it's the very, opposite of, hey, and I'm writing it in a book and you can come in and now that, right? Like it just seems, what am I trying to say? Like maybe it's the responsible way to have a near-death experience. Maybe that's not the way to compare it. I don't know.
I mean,
you brought him up. I'm just trying to justify it.
Well, it's the going from the experience to like the doomsday end of times. Mm-hmm. Kind of stuff I think is more problematic, but yeah, no, it's just, and how does that play into his defense? I think it'll be interesting. Like,
do you think they'll give him the death penalty? Speculation, obviously.
Yeah, I think he gets the death penalty.
Yeah. And then obviously appeals. So it'll be 10 years out before.
Or more.
Yeah. Or more.
Then we could talk about, do we still as a country have the death penalty when it rolls around?
Oh, interesting. Maybe. That's an interesting thing. Do can he still plead at any time, or is now that since the case has started, it's too late?
No, I mean, he could do whatever he wanted to do. Like, I mean, he could say that, like, I mean, they could make a plea deal at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So he could plead. They could say like, okay, like if you agree to life in prison, you can. We'll end this right now. But maybe the prosecution won't want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, he could stand up and say like, I did it. You should find me guilty. But
yeah, I don't think he'll do that though either.
No, not at this point. So.
On a news story that doesn't pertain to either of us, if you would like to know how to attend the 2024 Utah Area Young Single Adult Conference, sorry, everyone everywhere else, although there are a lot of people who are young single adults who come to Utah for this, it is happening the 2nd through the 4th of August. Well, you can go to the website, link in the show notes. Because there was such a resounding success at the Young Single Adult Conference last year, they have decided to do it again. It is a two-day convention on August 2nd and 3rd with keynote speakers, service opportunities, classes, and other activities, and a major concert that's going to be held on either the 2nd or the 3rd of August, held at the Delta Center. There will be dances and other evening entertainment, and then it will conclude with a devotional at the Conference Center on August 4th with a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Also, on the 27th of July, there will be a 5K fun run, temple trips, and other events, and tickets go on sale 1 week from today. They will be $25, and pricing increases as it gets closer. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to utahysaconference.org. You can find it on Facebook or on Instagram at utysaconf for all the information. Would you have gone to that? When you were a young single adult, would you have done that? I feel like I would have.
I don't know. I don't think I would have. I mean, I didn't ever go to EFY or any of those things. And so I can't see myself going to that. I mean, if I was, what's the age cutoff for that?
31 and under, I think, 1831.
Okay. I mean, I guess if I was living in Utah and in my late 20s, I don't know. It also feels like that would be a really awkward way to meet people. Not that that's the purpose of it, but.
No, that's 100% what the purpose of it is. No, I'm not joking. I think that they have said that that's what this is. It's to get out and have fun and for people to meet other people. It's not like you need to get married and this is the thing, but it is very much
on the nose.
Come meet people. There are like speed dating things and networking things. It is 100%. Meet people that aren't, you know, your online gaming friend playing Knights of Sidonia from Guitar Hero.
I'm gonna go play a set of Weezer songs and pretend you didn't say that.
You paid for them. You might as well.
I got a bunch of use out of that 99 cents.
Yeah, you did. Another story that I thought was sort of interesting, and Jana Reese from Religion News Service, she wrote about this. talking about, you know, we heard during general conference that, you know, people they put on their yoga pants and then they don't wear their garments anymore. And she contends, hey, that makes that sound like that's awfully female specific. And as it turns out, the numbers, I think, are like 54% of women and then like 52% of men. It's almost equal, with women just being slightly more of, like, if people aren't wearing garments, that they, you know, they wear them at night and then they get ready and they go to the gym or they go to a thing and then they don't put them back on till they go to bed. I'll be honest, I probably was a little bit biased, so I appreciate the article from Jana that says, hey, it's not just a women thing, it's an all people thing, because I think I would have thought it was probably more women based.
I think it's interesting when she breaks it down by generations,
mm-hmm.
like how baby boomers are still wearing them constantly. They're like 84%.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you cut that almost in half, which really surprised me that it was that low in the response. The poll question was, what was about wearing garments? And it was asked to people who have been to the temple and mm-hmm. are endowed, obviously. And of people in that category, you know, the response of, I'm wearing them currently, it was 84% of baby boomers, but only 42% of Gen X and 36% of millennials. Gen Z was also in the low 40s. But that's the thing that surprised me. Like, I would have thought it would be over 50% for the I'm wearing them now.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I think it's because probably the teaching around it, not necessarily like the actual core doctrine around it, but it seems like for boomers, it was like, and he stepped into the fire and everywhere that his garments weren't, he was burned third degrees, right? Like that seems to me like the old sort of stories that we told. And then as you get sort of younger, I think it's more on point with like, hey, so I made a covenant with God and, you know, I'm choosing to do this and there's not any sort of magic part of it that, you know, lots of people are in car accidents that wear garments and die. So it's not like if he would have been wearing it somehow, it would have, you know, the other thing.
Right. They're not bulletproof.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's just an adherence to like a dogmatic belief in a very strict observation of it that separates the boomers from Gen X. I was just glad Gen X made the survey. Normally we get forgotten.
Just lumped in with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, no one cares. The thing that I thought was interesting is that Gen Z higher than millennials. Millennials like 36% and Gen Z like 41 or 42.
Yeah, it's... I'm just really surprised that it... And I shouldn't be. I mean, I've, you know, through my church callings, I've, you know, had opportunities to talk with people about the temple and I've had opportunities to look at the church records to see who needs an appointment to get a temple recommend. And that's always been surprising to me. Sometimes there was always a handful of surprises in that, if you're picking up what I'm saying. So it shouldn't surprise me that the numbers are what they are, but it's also a weird thing that to focus on and talk about too.
Yeah, to talk about. Yeah, my mom, whom is no longer a member of the church, she likes to pick up on things that are sort of being talked a lot about in the in the mainstream, and she'll be like, oh, are you doing your underwear checks? You making sure that all your friends are wearing their underwear? And then I'll be like, no, it's not a thing that we do. And she goes, do you know how weird that is to everyone else that someone tells you what underwear to wear? Do you understand how weird that is? Bless my mom, sweetheart.
And you were like, yes, mom, you encouraged me to do it.
At one time, you were on board. Don't worry, I'll come back for you.
But for you teaching me that, I might not be doing it.
Yeah.
I don't look forward to it being more of a focus.
Yeah.
But it's curious. It's curious that those numbers are what they are. I think polls and surveys are all fascinating to me anyways, but it'd be really fun to dive into, you know, why and how, and get some more insight into, you know, of the 60% of Gen Xers that aren't currently wearing them. Like, what was the, is it like, what was the motivating factor? Is it a convenience thing? Is it a comfort thing? Is it a, you know, is it a, I just hate them. I don't know. It's an interesting.
Yeah. The one big takeaway though, like I mentioned though, I think that it's important where it is an everybody thing that we don't go, oh, the women, women are trying to get away. It's the immodest, you know, they don't want to have to wear garments under a dress or whatever, yoga pants, there, blah, 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 blah. Like, it is everyone. And I think that's what Jana, and what I hope that we as people just start to go, is it's not, everything is not the woman's fault. It seems like so often we're like, oh, the corrupting of the men by the women, the trying to get out of garments by the women, the
shirts and skins. Basketball games at the cultural hall.
See?
It's not appropriate.
Did you ever have the like weird things about garments? Or do you still? Like, don't, like, you don't put garments on the ground or things like that?
I remember at a time when I knew people who were like, if it touches the ground, you have to burn them.
Yeah, like the flag of the United States of America. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, I've for sure heard all sorts of things, but I also sweat in them and they get really gross.
Yeah, and you put them in a hamper. I mentioned this in, I think, the last news episode that we did, but it's worth mentioning again. I think that it's important to be like, hey, so I made a promise with God. And this was part of it. And part of the promise that I made was like, and then I'll do it as much as I can. And if you're not doing it as much as you can, it's worth at least looking at and saying, well, why am I not doing it as much as I can? That part of the promise. And I would say this, whether it's God and underwear, or you're saying, you know, with your job, you're going to work and you said, hey, I'll work all of this time. But you're not working all the time. You're spending time surfing or chatting on your phone or whatever. Why is it that you aren't keeping your part of what you said you were going to do? And I think,
and why do you have a surfboard at work?
Yeah. Do you have a surfboard at work?
Well, you said people were going surfing at work.
Yeah. Surfing the World Wide Web, Russell.
No, it's the thing that I tell young folk when they're getting ready to go on a mission. Mm-hmm. I say to them, you know, what are the mission rules that you're worried about that you think are going to be hard, right? Uh-huh. What are you putting yourself, what are you committing to do? Do you understand what you're committing yourself to do? And then do you think you'll be able to do that if you get there and realize that other missionaries don't do that?
Yeah.
Or like, are you still willing to do the thing that you say you're going to do when you find out that not everybody does that?
Yeah.
And so, but it's not just mission rules. It's like everything in church, right?
Sure. Sure.
There's rules that we're supposed to follow, like not to mow our lawns after June. And then when you realize that only 40% of people are doing it, and you're like, wait, why am I doing this?
What in the world is happening? I do think, and I don't, you know, I've been beating the drum a lot recently. It's like, I think that it's, there's a part of like, of also like honesty, where it's like, hey, I could go into a bishop or a stake president's interview and I can say, yes, 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 no, yes, 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 and get a temple recommend. And in my heart can know I shouldn't be there. I'm not a worthy person to be able to be there. And I'm saying genuinely worthy, not like I have, you know, some sort of self-esteem issues or like, you know, other things could come into play. I mean, genuinely, like, I know I am not worthy to enter the house because the qualifiers are, and I know I am not meeting said qualifications. I think that that's significant to go, why am I not? And do I have desire to and or not? And what does that mean? And I think that sometimes we just sort of kid ourselves or lie to ourselves and say, oh, yeah, no, I am. Social pressure, familial pressure, you know, not being able to deal with it personally, like you're just not ready to process it yet. But I think it's, I think it's worth it to go, you know, it's not a, I'm not wearing these because I get a terrible rash or some sort of infection or, you know, something like that. I am just choosing not to wear these. What does that mean? Why am I choosing not to do that?
Or not wear stuff or drink stuff or.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Like pick your poison or, sure. Or pick your covenant or whatever it is. There's a million ways to like, yeah, that it could be.
Yep. Anyway, we digress. How's that for news? You good?
Yeah. It feels like I got a lot of stuff to think about. Like Alma chapter 5 level self-reflection going on.
And then he wept.
But can I wear yoga pants?
Yes, of course.
They're so comfortable.
Yes, of course. The thing that I don't understand about that particular comment is, and I guess it's just the lines, right?
Right.
But you can wear garments underneath yoga pants.
Yeah.
So it just must be the line thing.
I don't understand fashion. So
just another thing that you and I should not be talking about. Yeah. So on fashion this week. Nope.
I will say though that generally speaking, if you're a leader in the church or just a member of the church, and when I say that, like if you're a man in the church and you're giving a talk in any of the venues where a person may actually give a talk, you probably shouldn't make a joke line that is at the expense of sisters in general, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give an example. So I was in a meeting recently where the state president said that he said that he was talking about moving cattle. And I was in this meeting and he's talking about moving cattle. And he said, like, if I had this bag of cow treats and the cows would just come run into the corral to get these treats, it's much like the way you sisters were respond to chocolate.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I said it out loud. That was offensive. And then my 12-year-old daughter turns to me, why was that offensive? I'm like, never mind.
Yep.
But yeah, it's like, why have, it was a throwaway laugh line that he put in that I thought, why would you do that? You'll never do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I never make jokes that backfire, so I can join you.
No, you should make jokes that backfire, that you just shouldn't make them about women.
Okay, perfect. Well, then I don't feel a bit bad about the joke that I made about your father earlier.
That was about my dad. That was hilarious.
I'm horrible.
Totally appropriate.
Yes. Yep. Because it's man.
Because you don't have a contingency of deceased people that are going to be upset about that.
As far as I know,
that's true.
I need to pay attention to the Daybell case so I can find out if maybe there is a contingency of mad people at me.
If you happen to do your yard work past June and heat stroke out on your lawn, then let us know what you're told.
Done. I won't do it though. June 1st. I know that this sounds so ridiculous. Straight up. Hey, we should. Nope. Next year. I did that at least a dozen times after June 1st last year.
But we got to paint the fence, Richie. Nope.
Next year. It's great. I am so horrible at boundaries. It is the only way that I can do it is I just have the arbitrary like, nope.
And it doesn't expire until next year. Like it's the spring. Yeah. There's not a fall window that opens up.
Oh, it's a little. But I do so much work for DJing and stuff in the fall that it's pretty hard. Most of it's just like cleaning up the leaves. It's essentially just like a maintenance thing. But all projects done from about April 1st to June 1st. And then I'm not doing it anymore.
I'd like to apply that to lots of areas of my life.
Yeah.
Create two-month windows that I'm only going to do this
thing for two months. I'm telling you, it's so great. Because the thing is, this is a glimpse into the ridiculousness that is me. But it's so great because it also is a time that we establish like the budget of what it's going to be, but money's gone. We spent it all in the 2 months, but we go crazy, not crazy, but we go relatively crazy in the 2 months. We need a wheelbarrow. Get the wheelbarrow. You need, you know, today we bought a tree for trees are expensive. It was like $250. It's like, buy the tree. We need the tree. Tree's part of the plan. Tree's got to go in the ground. Got to get in the ground before the first. We are here. I don't know that we're going to come here again. Buy the tree. After June 1st, we don't have any money for it.
Is it an apricot tree?
No, it is a red something. It weeps. So, it has beautiful purple flowers for like a hot second, like the cherry trees in Washington, D.C. And then it has these big, droopy, sad purple leaves.
I'm excited to see
it. It's cool. It's a cool looking tree. I like it. One of our neighbors has one. That's where we got the idea. And then we bought peach trees. We are a peach family.
But you can't freeze dry them.
No, we could do that. I could freeze dry a peach.
You're not allowed to have a freeze dryer, Richie.
Well, no, I don't have a freeze dryer, but I can moderate myself with a freeze dried peach.
True.
Because if you don't, it's Montezuma's revenge. Eat too many freeze dried peaches. No, do you not too much fiber, and then it doesn't get you. It doesn't hit you like Skittles. Diarrhea is what I was saying, Russ. I'm not sure.
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I did. I was. Generally, at this point in the show, you say something about the show nourishing and strengthening our bodies.
Let's be done. I don't know why we kept going. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
I don't ever.
Oh, you're not going to do it. All right. Healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety.
In the meantime, Chris at Alpine Lakes Travel, Rick McGee, Debbie Wanless, Chocolate Cake Bites Podcast, and the Tiger with a U will be saving a seat for you
on the back row.
There we go. You got that part of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the cultural hall show.